With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say no, you move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Situation Room once again. Whether you're watching us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, or Twitter, or Periscope, however you're watching us, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend with us. We think that it's important, and we appreciate it. Now, when I say we, of course, I mean I, because I am your host, Caleb Colquitt, and as of right now, I'm the only member on the staff here. But we at News Radio 1440 certainly do appreciate you, regardless of which of our programs, whether it's decisions, you know, regardless of what you're watching, we appreciate you listening to us and taking time out of your day to do that. And this is going to be a short one. But as usual, on Wednesday here at Tactics, we take some time to talk about something that's a little bit more of a spiritual nature. And that's important to us right here on Tactics, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. So, as usual on Wednesdays, we do take a little time out to do something slightly of a more spiritual nature, and we try to take it a little bit more meta. In other words, we try to talk about bigger ideas, not necessarily just the individual stories, but as always, we're talking about something that's going on in the news. There is a fascinating story right now. And fascinating is really just code for horrifying at this point, unfortunately, in a lot of the news stories that I cover. When I say I'm fascinated by it, usually it's because something horrible is going on. Sometimes not, but in this one, that is definitely the case. There is a man in Texas, not Oregon, not California, not New Jersey, Texas, that a court is ordering him to essentially affirm that his little boy is a girl. And not only that, they have ruled that this child, who is a trans child, and his mother is trying to convince him that he needs to transition into being a girl, that all of the things that go with that, his hormone therapy, his surgeries, them taking him to a gay counselor to try to convince him that he's a girl, all of those things are actually viewed as medical expenses for his child, and through child support, he is having to pay for this stuff, which is just astounding on a number of levels. Basically, this is child abuse funded by him, who doesn't believe in this. And one of the things that he's mentioned at the different news outlets that he's talked to about this, he said that when my son is around me, he doesn't want to wear dresses. He doesn't want to wear girls' things. He says he doesn't even like wearing briefs made for men, because they're too similar to women's undergarments. Now, granted, I don't know this for a fact. There's not recordings of this, but if this is true, well, frankly, it's horrifying even if what he's saying isn't true, but if this is true, and the kid is not on board with this whole transgender thing and is basically being abused by his mother as a puppet to suit her political leanings and her political fancies, I mean, that is evil on an astounding level. That anybody would put their political desires so far ahead of the well-being of their own child that they are willing to force them into something they don't want. Now, it's wrong regardless. It's wrong for, even if the kid really does think that he's a girl or really does think that she's a boy, it's wrong to indulge them and go along with them in that delusion, especially with some of the facts that we have seen in cases like this, that the vast majority of trans children grow out of that by the time that they hit puberty. later in life, they decide that they really were born in the correct body. And especially since it's more harmful for things like puberty blockers and some of the other drugs and things that they are undergoing at this time. And there's a wave of horror stories of kids that transitioned when they were younger, and then when they became adults, they decided that they actually were the gender they originally were, and they are mortified by the fact that their parents actually orchestrated the removal of key organs. There's higher risk for cancer, higher risk for suicide. I mean, you could go on and on and on and on. There is an overwhelming mountain of evidence that this is child abuse. So it's horrifying regardless, but especially when the kid doesn't even want it, especially when the kid is resisting and the parent is saying, no, I am going to mutilate you and chemically castrate you. I mean, how this woman isn't locked up, I don't know. But what I want to use this as, what I want to use this to talk about is, let's look at the overall worldview and the way that this has become perverted. Because this is exactly what this is. Transgenderism is a perversion of a healthy understanding of gender. First of all, I find it incredibly ironic that a lot of these same people, even in promoting transgenderism, say, well, you really just need to be who you are. There's nothing less being who you are than saying, nope, I'm a different gender. I mean, it'd be the same thing as if I said, you know what, I'm really a black person, or I'm really Hispanic. No, I'm really not. I may have an appreciation for that culture. I may have an appreciation for that. In fact, I have a cousin, and he says it jokingly. He's not serious. But he actually, one of my cousins up in Kentucky that talks about how he wants to be black. And I mean, he wears the kind of clothing that you would expect that goes along with that. And he's in Kentucky, so this isn't that unusual for a white person, but super into basketball. I mean, in Kentucky, that's just normal for everybody, regardless of what race you are. But regardless, that's something that he says, and he says it jokingly. It's tongue in cheek. But I mean, he has an appreciation for that culture. He likes the music. He likes the look. He likes the clothing. That's fine. But he isn't actually black, and he doesn't pretend to be. I really like Japanese culture. I collect katanas. I watch a lot of anime. I have tried to learn the language pretty much unsuccessfully, but I don't pretend to be Japanese. The difference here is that we are expected to go along with these people in their insanity. That it's one thing for a guy that, even though I disagree with it and I think that it's actually incorrect morally for a number of reasons, to dress in women's clothing, for example, if you're a man, or vice versa. I think that that's actually morally incorrect, partly because of my belief in the Bible, but there's a difference in a cross-dresser, for example, that still affirms that he is a man, but occasionally dresses up and plays a woman. There's a difference in that and a person that says, no, I'm actually a woman, and not only do I believe that I'm really a woman, that you have to go along with me and I will use the blunt force of law to force you to affirm that I am indeed a woman. That's a whole different thing. And as we've learned, and we've talked about this with some of our lawyer friends, Matt and Laura Clark, for example, we've talked about this concept over and over again. As bad as silencing a person's speech is, in other words, muzzling somebody, keeping them from speaking freely when it comes to the government, as bad as that is, the legal standard, and this has been ruled on by the Supreme Court, is that it's always worse to compel speech that the person does not want to say. So as bad as it is to shut somebody's free speech up, it's even worse to compel them to say something that they disagree with, because then you're going even a step further in degrading their right to free speech, their right to expression. And so this idea that we ought to, that it should be a hate crime of some kind, if you just say, nope, that's a dude. I mean, I get that he's wearing a muumuu, but he's got an Adam's apple, very big hands, and a full beard. That's clearly a man. That is something that they believe that you should be, at the very least, fined, if not thrown in jail for. I mean, you have reached whole other levels of insanity if that's something that you actually believe. But I want to even dig deeper than that. I want to get right to the heart of the matter. And what that is the worldview that is so skewed and so messed up that they believe that this is a correct lifestyle and a correct thing to do. Their thinking is so incredibly flawed on this, because when it comes to sexual preference, in other words, the person that you want to sleep with, even though, of course, I believe that there are correct and incorrect decisions to be made on that, and I'm very clear about that, anything outside of a monogamous heterosexual relationship is wrong. And when I say that, I mean specifically one that includes a marriage. Not just, you know, I'm monogamous with my girlfriend and I may be monogamous with my new girlfriend in a couple months. No, I'm talking about a commitment for life. That's the only time that that is acceptable. And I will go to the mat to defend that. But even looking outside of that, when we're talking about a sexual preference, I thought that the standard that was presented by the left was always that, well, it's whoever you want to do that with. Now, they're a little bit looser on who they think that you should be able to do that with without it being a moral problem. But the point is, that was always the standard, right? That it's just whoever you want to do that with. See, now they've even moved that. There was a guy the other day, and the left was outraged over this too. A guy that was trying to get a role in a pornographic movie. And this is so weird that I'm actually somehow on the side of the porn guy in this story, but please follow along. Don't take me out of context here. That the guy who was trying to get a role in this movie, he said that he was a woman, and then when he undressed, he's got man parts. And then the guy who paid him to engage in this pornographic film with him, which, by the way, I don't understand how that's not, because he was also the guy that was going to be having sex with him. I don't understand how that's not prostitution. It's just prostitution with a camera. But nonetheless, let's not get off into that patch of weeds. He says, no, I like women, so no. And he's outraged, and there's people on the trans activist side of this calling him a bigot and talking about how evil this guy is. And I'm like, well, I thought that the standard was always you should only have sex with people you actually want to have sex with. If that's not the standard, and it's just whoever wants to have sex with you that they have to do that, well, then rape's not a thing. Like, I don't think that, I think this is a general rule for the left, but even more specifically when it comes to trans and the gay agenda and all that, I think when it comes to that, they really have absolutely no impulse control on, what are the implications of this line of thinking? Like, if we follow this line of thinking to its logical conclusion, where does it lead? Because if that line of thinking is, well, you have to just have sex with whoever demands sex from you, well, then there's no such thing as rape. Rape is not a thing if that's the case. And that's not a world that I want to live in. But it all boils down to that, and they are trying to affirm that this person is a woman. And that saying, well, I like women. Well, if you like women, you should like this guy who has all the parts of a man because he just says that he's a woman. That would be like if I tried to sell you a car and you said, okay, I want a sedan, and I give you a Hummer, and you say, no, I wanted a sedan. It's like, no, it's a sedan. No, that's clearly a Hummer. No, it's a sedan. It identifies as a sedan. And so I'm going to call it a sedan. I'll even write sedan across the side of the door there. So it's a sedan. Well, what if I just gave it a new paint job and gave it the same paint job as a sedan? Well, no, it's still a freaking Hummer. Like, the fact that you call it something else or put a thin coat of paint over the top of it doesn't change what it actually is. And that's the problem at the core of this whole thing. they treat gender as though it is something that can be bought. Because if you think about it, if you distill being a woman into just wearing heels and a dress and a wig, or even if you take it one step further, if you distill being a woman into having artificial boobs and, you know, lopping off the Franks and beans, if that's the case, and that's all being a woman is, then being a woman is essentially something that you can just buy in a store. I mean, like a, you know, like a pot or a something like that, just a product to be purchased. And the same thing for a man, just in reverse. If all it is a matter of clothing, or all it is a matter of even body parts, then it's really not a thing. And that's really where it all goes down to. For example, I know breast cancer survivors that they're women. They don't have their breasts anymore, but that doesn't make them not women. In my case, and for those of you that have been watching the program for a while, you know that that's something that hits pretty close to me. I'm still a man, even though I don't have all my parts still intact, you know, because I had testicular cancer, so I'm missing one. But that doesn't make me not a man. I'm not in, you know, the gender spectrum or whatever it is, just because my parts are gone. Like, if I were to lose all of my parts, I would still be a man. Every single cell in my body would still have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. If they dug me up 10,000 years later, anthropologists would still look at my remains and say, yep, that's a dude. And so they've tried to really cheapen it to basically a product that you can buy. And I think that's what I find so detestable. In the same sense, because, look, it's the Halloween season, Halloween's upon us, we're going to be having our big Halloween special just in about a week from now. When it comes to Halloween, there's a lot of people dressed as things that they are not. The other night, we had a little Halloween event here at the university. I was dressed as Deathstroke from DC Comics. Well, just because I'm dressed as Deathstroke doesn't mean I know what it's like to assassinate people. Just because a person is dressed as Superman doesn't mean they know what it's like to be Kryptonian. Just because somebody is dressed as Abraham Lincoln doesn't mean that they know what it's like to be Abraham Lincoln. Even somebody like, for example, Daniel Day-Lewis, who spent a lot of time as a method actor trying to become Abraham Lincoln, get inside the guy's head. I'm sure that that experience taught him some things about Lincoln, but he doesn't know what it's like to actually be Lincoln. Just like a man that is wearing high heels and a dress and a wig doesn't automatically know what it's like to be a woman. Even if he has the surgery to have the fake boobs and the fake other parts, he still doesn't know what it's like to be a woman. That is a completely different foreign concept to him. I've always thought it would be fascinating to do just some kind of undercover investigation and to live like a woman for a week. You know, dress up, make it real convincing, see how the reactions are different, that kind of thing. I've always thought that would be a fascinating thing to do just to get some insight. I'm not going to do it, but the point is, I think that it would be a fascinating thing to do just to gain some insight. And I think I would gain some insight. But I still wouldn't know what it's like to be an actual real woman. Just like if I babysat some kids for, you know, a day or two. That would give me insight into parenting, but it wouldn't make me a parent. That's a whole other experience. And so I think part of the reason that we need to focus on this and remember that this is something that is, it can be so detrimental, is because they're trying to distill both manhood and womanhood into something that it is not. They're trying to make it a product to be purchased. They're trying to cheapen it. What they're ultimately trying to do is make it to where gender isn't a thing. To where nothing matters. And we live in this world of complete subjectivity where whatever you want to do, whatever you want to feel, whatever you think, that's what you are. There's nothing to that. And that is a world that is going to be so devoid of purpose and meaning that there will be no reason for us to exist. And I think ultimately that's actually what they want. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalreda Church of Christ.